Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Square Garden. What an amazing game again. But unfortunately this time, the Rockets come up with the short end of the stick and lose it 124-118. For the first time this season, the Rockets have lost three straight games.
Ew!
I think it's a valid way to put it, Paul.
Thank you.
Ew.
Ew!
Gross.
Yeah, why are you wearing a Rockets hat in studio today?
Great question. Just grabbed one on the way out the door.
You do look fetch.
Thanks.
You got your Cougs shirt on.
Yeah.
Stash is extra stashy.
Jordans that you don't match.
Ooh, but you are wearing Jordans.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just wearing some Cole Haans right now. Sean's looking as Sean always does. Welcome back, Sean.
Thank you.
That is a compliment.
Okay.
That
okay.
is a compliment. But last night, the Houston Rockets looked like a big ol' steaming dump in the fourth quarter. 11-point lead going into the third. You get that Amen Thompson incredible and one dunk to wrap up the quarter. And I'm thinking to myself, hell yeah, the fraud-ass Knicks doing what they do best, being absolute frauds, because that's what they've been their entire existence. And I was getting ready to send a couple of messages to my delusional Knicks fan friends who think that that team is ever going to be good. Next thing I know, Jalen Brunson has somehow scored about 45 points or so, and the Rockets are looking up at the scoreboard at the end of the game.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson was incredible in the fourth quarter. That was a tough fourth quarter for the Rockets. 46 points. That's a lot of points to give up in one quarter, especially by a team that prides itself on basketball, on good basketball defense.
Defensively, right. The Knicks shot 63% in the fourth quarter. They had 80 points in the paint in totality. So, at the very least, after a very disappointing loss, the Rockets' third straight, their longest losing streak of the year, I'm glad that you got a guy like Ime Udoka to talk about the way things ended and throw in our favorite Ime Udoka word.
You were trying to make some substitutions and find somebody who could guard. Did you see anything that you thought was working well?
I mean, a few guys, but not enough. Even our, you know, supposed defenders got cooked tonight.
Even our supposed defenders got cooked tonight. And there's another word as well that he dropped. And we'll get to the Rockets' struggles in the fourth quarter, which has been an all-season issue. But more Ime Udoka on the Rockets.
I don't think it was rim protection. I think it was one-on-one defense. They have a 46-point quarter. You know, we scored 29. We scored 118. We scored enough points to win. But very soft and uncompetitive defensively, and just going at us one-on-one. And we're complaining about offensive fouls, not boxing out, not doing our assignment, getting back cut, off ball actions, and that adds up to 46. And so scored enough to win.
Called him soft, said there was too much pitching.
God, he is the, from what I know about you, Paul, now, he is the perfect coach for a team that you root for.
Yeah, I love it.
Like, he is the perfect, he's the perfect coach for anyone to call out your players, like, pretty direct but indirect shots at, I think, both Amen Thompson and Dylan Brooks there. And I know people have been like gassing up Jalen Green's pick and roll defense there in the first clip we played. I feel like that's another shot at him for the defense. But then to call out, you know, the begging for offensive foul calls, it was brutal. It reminded me of the James Harden Rockets a little bit in the fourth quarter last night.
I
got those vibes.
I agree. Totally agree. It's not just defensively the lack of effort. It's also Jalen Green out of control, driving through the lane, not getting foul calls. And the Worrell Army rose up in unison online. The Rockets fans who constantly whine about the refs too, whine about the refs. Some were even suggesting that Jalen Green flop going forward. Bias Houston is the worst Twitter account in Houston sports that hasn't blocked me yet. He is absolutely awful. Same guy who said that, yeah, I think I'm going to root for the Lakers after they once again trade-raped another team into getting the best player in the league. Now here he is saying, yeah, I think Jalen Green needs to flop a little bit. Nope. I'm glad Stephen Silas is gone, and the Rockets little kids club going to have to go back to timeout. Going to have to go to the little kids table again. I can't deal with your crap. I need Ime Udoka to get you people to come in and run suicides. I hate these people. I hate them. Hate them, hate them, hate them. And I like that he's in charge instead of these little puss children who are constantly whining about how this Rockets team, like, oh, they got to get star calls and they need to flop and all this stuff. I hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it. And I'm glad Ime Udoka is leading the charge. And now the real question is, after three games lost in a row, are the Rockets going to be able to pull out of a nosedive? This was bound to happen sooner or later, but do these guys have the sack to go up and tonight against Brooklyn do what they couldn't do over the weekend against Brooklyn?
Yeah, they have to. You don't want this thing to unravel. And we know Fred VanVleet now is week to week. And that's a huge problem. Like, he is the point guard for this team. They are a worse basketball team. As much as I don't love Fred the basketball player, like, I think the Rockets can do better. I think at some point they will do better. But they miss him a ton when he's not out there.
Yes.
And just the organizing of the offense to be under more control more often as a team. It feels like they just play more reckless basketball when he's not out there. And he can be guilty of it when he is out there. But they're worse when he's not there. And now you're not going to have him for who knows how long. Week to week, he could be back next week. It could be a month. Like you don't know how long these things are going to play out. Now, to have that game, you know, without Alpi, without Jabari, without Fred, it should, like, feel like a positive, but you were terrible in the fourth quarter. And just because Fred, Alpi, and Jabari are out there, it doesn't fix your defensive issues. Because it's not just about the closing and who's getting the final shot and not having a closer on this team or Jalen Green being reckless. At the end of the day, it was a defense problem. And there are guys out there that are supposed to play great defense, and they didn't do it last night against the New York Knicks. They totally forgot, like, who they were in the fourth quarter. And I know the fourth quarter problems have been a thing all year. It is really strange when you look at the numbers to think that this is a team that has, I think it's still 19 clutch wins on the season, that they've been that successful with some of the fourth quarter issues they've had. But yeah, all of it. I please don't be asking guys to flop.
No, I hate that. That is the past. That is not what this team is about.
It's not going to work.
Jalen Green's never going to be a superstar. Let's just get that out of the way. Could he be a star someday? Sure. Superstar? No. Guy like Jalen Brunson, he's on the borderline, and he's going to get a lot of calls. And yeah, he was flopping a lot last night.
But he also it's also about control. Jalen Brunson goes to the rim with body control. He is not flailing before the contact is even made.
Yeah.
Where I think with the way Jalen attacks the paint, like, it can work sometimes, but you're not going to get those calls as frequently when you're totally out of control.
He does that a lot.
Because if you're out of control, the referee can't tell when you're fouled and when you're not. If he goes in with, like being more stiff a little bit, it'll be easier to tell when he gets fouled. Like, he's just not going to get those calls, and the way he does it, it's not making it any easier on the refs.
It's once or twice a game where he does this, and I like the effort he's putting in on the defensive end, and I do think he's improving under Ime Udoka, but there's clear pitfalls with his actual game, whether it's some nights he's just going to brick everything from outside, and it's that. I feel like there are moments where he tries to do a little bit too much, and it lends itself to that. And, God, I just hate that Rockets fans are like, well, maybe he needs to start flopping, and that a lot of people agreed with this. Like,
I know.
That, to me, it just bothers me to my core. It's unmanly. You know, it's there's no honor, first of all, but it's unmanly to flop. We're America. We are not Italy. We are not all these soft-ass countries that we had to kick the ass of in World War II. No, that's not us. That's never who we're going to be. If you're open to that, honestly, we should deport you. I'm cool with the illegals staying here. I'm cool. Let's deport you. You are making us softer as a country, okay? So watch out. I have put in a request just now with ICE They're going to come after you. I'm from this country. I've never lived anywhere else. Tough you-know-whatsies, okay? Can't say that. Tough you-know-whatsies. You're gone. Can't handle it.
Especially because I can almost guarantee you that these people who are asking for Jalen Green to flop are probably the ones that were still freaking out about Mahomes and his slides and his flops. Capital H hypocrite.
There's definitely got to be.
Yeah, like you got to pick a stance and stick with it.
What's the circled things where they intersect? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the Venn diagram?
Venn diagram. Is that right? That's it. Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Bailing me out here. Yeah, the Venn diagram. There's for sure a commonality there. And we'll talk about, by the way, the refs going into this Super Bowl. This city has been done such a disservice by Bill Worrell, legendary broadcaster, but the whining about the referees in basketball. Oof, it's unbecoming. And now some of you guys actually want to flop to create more bad calls from the referees. Speaking of hypocrisy, Ime Udoka was asked about the Rockets' struggles to close teams out. Here he is.
At times it's not scoring enough. At times it's obviously not getting stops like it was tonight. Most of the time it's been due to poor scoring fourth quarters. That wasn't the case tonight. 29-point quarter, 118 for the game, and 11-point lead going into the fourth quarter. You know, we talked about that recently, looked at our month of January, all the leads that we've gained and then haven't been able to maintain. And so that's where we got to obviously get better, especially in the fourth quarter and close games.
So second best team in the Western Conference, right? One of the best records in the league. 24th in fourth quarter margin this year.
Ooh, that ain't going to work.
It adds up. And you take a look at the actual numbers. They're not as bad as you would think. It's -1, but that's something negative 1.1 or something like that. But at the same time, we're still talking about a team that ranks 24th in the fourth quarter. You're in the same conversation as Philadelphia, Portland, Washington, Chicago, Toronto, and Utah.
That's a really bad group to be a part of.
Those are all really bad teams.
Yeah, so it doesn't look that bad if you just look at the number itself, but when you put the teams next to it, it's pretty terrible because those are some of the worst teams in the NBA that were just listed around the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Look, this is part of the reason why the idea of not trading anyone this year does make some logical sense, because this is what you're learning. This is what you're learning about your basketball team. This is like what's the most important about the future of the Houston Rockets is what happens in the final 3 minutes and the final 12 minutes of a basketball game. Who's in, who's out, like who can play defense, who is a real closer, who is not. Like that's what the Rockets are trying to learn this year. And in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, feels like every game is coming down to these moments. And you're really, I think, some of these guys are getting exposed a little bit for what they are in the fourth quarter. I think Jalen Green specifically, which is with him offensively and defensively, and the fact that Amen Thompson, who can't really shoot the basketball for the third time in the last week, is being asked to be the guy to take the final shot.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. 713-780-3776 if you want to weigh in on the Rockets' collapse last night. Up next, some fun facts about the Texans' new offensive coordinator, including quite the origin story to how he became the Texans' offensive coordinator. What a road it was. We'll talk about that. Stay put.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Not a great end for the Rockets last night. We'll see what they're able to do against Brooklyn tonight. Three losses in a row. Nick Caley is the Texans' new offensive coordinator. I saw a very interesting story posted to Reddit about how he got his start in coaching. So, per this Redditor, who supposedly, and I'm taking it with a grain of salt, went to college with Nick Caley at Walsh University in North Canton, Ohio. Caley created his team, Walsh University's playbook in NCAA football, where you could create plays and not just the playbook, copied it onto a bunch of PlayStation 2 memory cards, and players who had the NCAA football video game knew assignments much better than previous seasons. So they credited Nick Haley, and that's, per this Redditor, how he got his start in coaching, started off at that level.
I mean, look, that gives me hope that my coaching dreams are still alive. Just got to start importing playbooks into the game and send it to Nick Haley and be like, hey, man, that's what the Texans should do.
I do think that would help players remember the playbook.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you just put all the plays into Madden or a college football game and we're like, hey, this is exactly what you do, definitely would help.
Isn't that what Jaden Daniels does with, like, virtual reality?
Yeah. Thing?
Like, he puts on a VR headset and runs it at, like, 2.5 times speed or something. And so he's like, yeah, the game feels slower or whatever.
Yeah, that's what supposedly Jaden Daniels does. I don't buy it as much as the reports. I feel like it's being gassed up a little bit. But, yeah, and this guy is, he's a genius. He was a genius early on.
At least based off of that origin story. I mean, that's a pretty cool origin story for all the dorks like us out there.
I thought you went to John Carroll.
Occasionally play college football
that
video games.
That is what I was going to say. Like, at the very beginning where you're like, this is a Redditor, I don't know how. And then it was like a university that isn't John Carroll. I was
right.
Like, well.
So he eventually went to John Carroll.
Okay. Once he was like, I'm going to be a head coach, I need to go to the school where all the coaches go.
Redditor at Walsh Cav commented, I went to college with Nick at Walsh University, North Canton, Ohio. He started there before transferring to John Carroll. He went to Walsh because of our head coach, Jim Dennison, being a coaching legend who gave guys like Jim Tressel and Mark D'Antonio their starts in coaching. At the same time, he had every single connection you could want in coaching. I was in his office one day when Mac Brown called up to ask for some advice. What? That's okay. Interesting about
right, so
Jim Dennison. He's talking about Jim Dennison there. Nick Haley is not being called by Mac Brown.
Okay, 20-year-old Nick Haley.
I mean, that would be psychotic.
All right, Mac Brown, what are you going to do? You go to NCAA 04. You load up the playbook with all this. Give it to Vince Young.
But Haley's always wanted to be a coach. He went to that college to help out, and then he transferred over to John Carroll. So this guy who commented thinks he's going to be awesome. Again, we'll see. Also of note, and I heard this being chopped up by Landry and Cody on their Texans podcast, the idea that coaches who have been tight end coaches before, it has a trend of success. Ben Johnson was a tight end coach before his first OC gig. Kevin Stefanski was a tight end coach before his first OC gig. Andy Reid was a tight end coach before his first OC gig. And Sean McVay was a tight end coach before his first OC gig.
Huh. That's interesting. I did think their point, too, on their podcast was interesting about that I didn't really think of in terms of, like, the difference between Haley and Bobby Slowick is part of it is, like, Bobby Slowick was never a position coach for anything. So, like, he's never in a room with a group of guys, like, really coaching them on what is and what's going on, where at least he will have this experience. That's an interesting trend. I guess we have to, like, buy into it a little bit because those are some pretty impressive names you listed there.
It is one of those things where I'm sure you could find some other tight end coaches who became offensive coordinators and they were effing terrible, and then you never heard of them again. But, hey, if you're looking for something to get excited about, that's another one. So, Nick Haley, reasons to get excited, uses creative ways to get the kids to learn the plays. And on top of that, he's been a tight end coach before, and tight end coaches generally work. The Rams offense, the 49ers offense, the McVays, the Shanahan offenses are relatively similar per Robert Woods, who said that after coming from the Rams offense to the Texans when he first signed here and going into the 2023 season. I also thought it was noteworthy, Texans cap did a comparison of what the Texans offense is versus the Rams offense. The Texans offense did not do a whole lot of two tight end this past season, and the Rams do even less. The Rams basically are running three wide receivers all game. They're just a little bit less shotgun and a little more under center than the Texans have been. Lots of motion at the snap. Cool, Paul. You're probably saying to yourself, oh, you're looking at the analytics. I'm just saying there are similarities, but I hope that just the Ramsiness is a much better aesthetic than the Slowick slop, to be perfectly honest.
I also do wonder how Ramsey it's going to be. How Ramsish it's going to be. Mm. Because he was only there for 2 years.
Right.
Like, it's not like he is Sean McVay's protege. Like, he coached tight ends at New England, which, by the way, pretty good. Pretty good. Robert Gronkowski would be pumping gas right now if it wasn't for Nick Cayley. Nick Cayley's like, no, so you're going to catch it, and then you just don't let anyone ever tackle you and run into the end zone. But I do wonder, like, is it just going to be the copy-paste playbook from the Rams over here, or is it going to be more influenced by his other stop – or his one other stop, which he was there for a long time.
Correct.
Working with a bunch of different OCs in New England.
He was there from 2015 through 2022, offensive assistant, then a tight end coach from 2017 to 2022. So at the very end of Gronk, not exactly sure that's fair to say.
No, he coached – and
– he did coach Gronk, and he also did not coach Aaron Hernandez.
Yes, I was going to say, that's the key. Perfect cutoff.
He's never coached a murderer. So
hands are clean.
That's also good.
Hands
about
are clean.
The Texans' new offensive coordinator.
I'm curious, like, what do you – I don't really – like, I think a lot of people are assuming it's going to be the Rams' offense. But, like, I don't – what you guys are saying, I don't feel that way. Like, it's a guarantee that they're going to just implement the same exact offense. I think there might be flashes of it, but – being with New England for so long, I mean, you saw Tom Brady obviously play for so long. Like, I think CJ could do a lot of those things effectively that they ran in New England. I just don't think it's this lock that it's going to be the same offensive scheme coming from LA. Like, because he's only there for 2 years. So, like, what does he know better? Well, technically, he knows better than New England. So, like, I wonder, like, if we're going to see the Josh McDaniels offense.
Yeah, the Urhard Perkins offensive system, in case you've never heard of that.
I had not ever heard that before.
That is the...
Dale Earnhardt was the OC?
The Urhard Perkins. So E-R-H-A-R-D-T Perkins. I don't know what it means. Okay? I don't know what it means. I just know Tom Brady is the second coming of God. And that certainly was an offense that he excelled in. Does Stroud have some Brady tendencies? Yes. I think Stroud has some Stafford obsession. We've heard him talk about this in great detail. And for those who don't remember, this was CJ Stroud talking about Matt Stafford on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast. He loves Matt Stafford.
Stafford, hey, Stafford another one,
he
bro.
He
might be up there with Brady in them, bro.
No, come on.
No,
bro.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
crazy. Crazy.
Let me go back. Hey, because no, because look, I'm a look, dog. Hold on, before you do all this shit, I'm a student of the game. Stafford, a dog.
He
bro.
Is a dog.
No, you don't understand, bro. You saying that? That's all I watch. I don't watch nobody else. I watch Mahomes at times because Mahomes does some stuff that like you can't coach. Stafford, dog. He will beat you with the same thing every time. All that no-lick stuff, I got that from bruh. Like, literally, that's one of my big, like, I'm a fan of his. Like, if you give Matthew Stafford a chance like Aaron Rodgers, I guarantee he might have had more rings, for sure.
Matthew Stafford had more rings than Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he have another ring probably.
I'd say he had, like, 3-4.
He might, it's possible.
He is bro.
He is bro. I mean, he's obsessed.
Matt Stafford's kind of the NFL equivalent of what Paul George has become in the NBA.
It's disrespectful to Stafford because Paul George has never won anything. No,
in terms of like the young quarterbacks all come in and they're all obsessed with Matt Stafford. It's very interesting because CJ's not the only one to talk like this. Like, they all seem to love Matt Stafford.
The comparison you're making from it's surprising that Matt Stafford is put on a pedestal. That is similar to Paul George. However, I have like close to zero respect for Paul George. I'm sorry. I just don't. Like, this whining about, oh, the Pacers didn't give me enough of a month. You're like, shut up, dude. You're not that good. Like, you're good, but you're not that good. Okay? Relax. But Stafford, yes, you're right. Like, there's a cult following of Matt Stafford. And let's be honest, if you like something, you're generally going to try to emulate it, whether it's sports or it's hosting a radio show. Like, you'll hear a style or you'll see a style, and it's, a natural byproduct of watching somebody that you like. You're going to try to do some of the same things. So I'm curious as to if the Texans, if they involve CJ in these conversations about who's the next offensive coordinator, we're like, hey, man, this guy coached Matt Stafford.
And that might be all CJ knows about him, but it sounds like it might give the sign-off of just like, yeah, like let's do exactly what Matt Stafford's been doing. He doesn't know he's only been there for 2 years. Let's just make assumptions. I would assume CJ was consulted in some capacity for this hiring process. Even just of how comfortable are you in the offense? How important is it for you to be in a similar offense? Like, do you feel like you would excel if he ran the Tom Brady New England Patriots system? And even if they didn't, like, you have to do what's the best decision-making process that you think for the GM and the coach, and you do what's best for C.J. Stroud. But he had to be consulted in some capacity. He's your quarterback.
From YouTube, Keith on at ESPN Houston. Kaylee from Ohio. Ohio puts out coaching gold. I'm sold. So no reservations like with Ohio State quarterbacks about coaches from Ohio.
Coaches from Ohio, in.
Why is football... Why is there such a football hotbed in Ohio?
What else do you think they do there?
Pennsylvania. I don't know. Like, make cars.
I don't know.
Maybe not. Like, that's all in Mexico.
Yeah, that all moved.
Yeah. Right. Like, what do you do in Ohio? There's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Eat cats.
Weird. Like, there's nothing to do in Ohio. They probably just have
eating
football.
Eating the dogs. Eating the cats.
Yeah.
That's Springfield, Ohio.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't remember that story.
Oh, it's a big story, dude.
It was?
Yeah. There's, and again, it was like overplayed rumor, but yeah, that's what was being said about Springfield, Ohio. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats.
Oh, gross.
You not remember that from?
No.
Oh, wow. Iconic line. Anyway. Hey, he's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean's behind the glass. 713-780.
When you said Springfield, I was thinking Simpsons.
Same.
I mean.
Same. Same, Sean.
There's a Springfield in like every state.
That's true.
There's a Springfield in Massachusetts. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. You want to weigh in on Nick Kaley? Are you enamored with him more now that you know that this guy uses NCAA football, the video game franchise, to reach the kids? And if you want to weigh in on the Rockets' collapse of a loss last night, you can as well. Up next, Roger Goodell was asked if he feels the NFL is rigged for the Kansas City Chiefs. You'll hear what he has to say. Stay put.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Yesterday, Roger Goodell had his State of the Union, and I guess some were allowed to ask the questions that people wanted answered. It wasn't cherry-picked questions from little Danny or some random children that he uses so that no one asks him about how he lives with himself after slandering the greatest quarterback we've ever seen, but that's fine. I did go to one of those press conferences and raise my hand the whole time. That was my intention, was to ask a pointed question like, how do you live with yourself for besmirching someone's reputation because the rest of the NFL were jealous of the greatest quarterback ever and the greatest franchise ever.
The Patriots were under attack.
They were. That week was ridiculous.
No, in this press conference.
Oh.
There was two different times. Well, there was actually really a theme with this whole press conference because I ended up going down a rabbit hole, a.k.a. I just watched all 37 minutes for some reason.
You can go to the transcript and find stuff.
Yeah, they just kept asking indirectly about the Patriots hiring practices.
Oh, they're not going to ask about the Bears doing the exact same thing.
I know, but like
they interviewed Eddie George on Sunday. Yeah, and then they hired Ben Johnson. What? Oh, on Monday.
But like they directly referenced the Aaron Glenn not taking the Patriots interview. There was about 15 questions about DEI and the NFL's thoughts on it. So that was pretty much the entire press conference.
I'm sick of those three letters, too, by the way. I get it. Like, people aren't happy with it, but can we stop using this as the reason for everything that's going on in our country? Ooh, it's DEI! Shut up! It's not everything's DEI. Like, go in timeout and chill out for just a little bit. But anyway, to bring it back to Roger Goodell, he was asked about the possibility that the league favors the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's what he had to say.
Well, this sort of reminds me a little bit of the script, right? That I write a script, and I have the script for the entire season. Listen, I think from a lot of those theories are things that happen in social media. That's a ridiculous theory for anyone who might take it seriously.
Ha, 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 the script is out. 1-0-1-0-1-1-1. I am Goodell, but this question questions the integrity of the league. Initiate shield protocol. deny, 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 deny. He needs to be rebooted. I'm glad someone asked him. I am not of the belief that it's rigged for the Chiefs. I think that all these other teams regularly screw up. But for sure, from time to time, when Patrick Mahomes is getting touched violently,
mm-hmm.
or being just a little bit touched, sure, the flags are going
to
come out.
I wish my only issue with the questions is that I think they should have been more directly pointed to like that those plays, as of the slide itself. Not just the, do you think it's rigged? No, like the slide's a problem. Like, why are you allowing the defenses to be at a totally unfair advantage constantly in these games? Instead, they ask it in a way that lets them say that, which is a bunch of nothing burger answer, as much of his press conference. But yeah, I don't think it's rigged, and I think it's only on social media where you think it's rigged. Like, I don't think that many people really think it's real life.
I wonder, because it did feel like it gained a huge groundswell over the last couple of weeks after the Texans game, when the Texans lost because of 8 sacks and pissing their pants all days on special teams. And the Bills, even though the Bills lost because they forgot to give the ball to James Cook down the stretch and fumbled the ball 5 times, they didn't deserve to win that game. They recovered all 5 of those fumbles. There had to have been some sort of consequence from the football gods when you put the ball on the ground as many times as that. But that's my opinion. That is something that has really picked up steam over the last couple of weeks, even though some people have put out statistical data showing that the penalty yardage differential in some of these games has, for the most part, favored the other teams, not the Chiefs. So it's still something that's in the back of everyone's mind.
For sure.
And I do wonder how this game gets called as a result of it, because if we know anything about the NFL, when there is a large amount of people that are complaining about a specific thing, they will generally correct quickly, sometimes to the point of overcorrection. Does that mean a Super Bowl where they let them play a little bit more than in games past? I think there's a fair chance of that.
I think so too. I think you have to like be conscious of it, and they act like the referees wouldn't be is insane. These are people. Like they're going to be. They don't want to be the story. They don't not want to be the story of the guy who throws the flag on Patrick Mahomes, and they turn on the TV on Monday, and everyone's calling them out by name for a controversial call that they had. Like they don't want that.
But this is where it's like a no-win situation, because then they, let's say they don't, they keep the whistles in their pocket. Like, there'll just be screenshots of every touchdown pass that Patrick Mahomes throws where you grab the still image of his right tackle holding someone. Like, no matter what, or a Chiefs defensive back holding someone, and so it's an incomplete Jalen Hurts pass. Like, no matter what, if good plays happen for the Chiefs, you can find a still frame of, oh my God, how'd they not call this? Just like you can do it on literally every play in the NFL. So maybe they do let them play a little bit more, but that won't stop the – I hope they understand that won't stop the conspiracy.
No,
people have already made up their minds.
I kind of hope it like flips the other way, though. Like all these Chiefs fans who are holier than thou about this.
If they get screwed over, that's the only way they can do it, is that they like actively screw over the Chiefs.
Yeah, like the Chiefs get the Eagles then, get a break.
But then you are rigging the NFL. Then you are proving them right.
No, I'm not trying to prove them right. I'm just saying it would be ironic if there was a bad call in favor of the Eagles.
But if they do that on purpose.
I'm not saying do it on purpose.
Okay. It seems like you are.
I'm just saying
it feels like implied.
Well, yeah, Chiefs fans are whiny little bitches right now. So, like,
are they?
I think so.
I think Texans fans were way worse. Yeah, I think Bills fans were way worse.
The entire NFL is being whiny bitches by the fact that they have to ask the commissioner if this sport is rigged.
Seriously, I think that Chiefs fans are annoyed and they don't know how to handle this, because bless their little Midwestern hearts, they don't understand how to be hated. You know, they aren't about that life like Astros fans were after the sign-stealing scandal popped up and like Patriots fans were. That's just not who they are. But now this might be their origin story, and I'm kind of here for it. But yeah, Joe, I totally disagree. The Texans fans and Bills fans whining about games where they lost this game on their own, to me, it's the worst. And it leads to this like buildup before the game. And while I think it's totally fair to say F the Chiefs, you can, I also am kind of annoyed that people are like, whoa, everyone favors them. And I mean, I don't remember people doing that with the Patriots that much back in the day, complaining about it. I think there's more complaints about favorable calls for Kansas City than there are about the ones that were for New England. And I mean,
No, I think you're right.
I don't know that it was like all that different.
No, I think you're right.
There was the fumble return for a touchdown in the 2017 AFC Championship game by Miles Jack that was clearly a fumble that they overturned. You know, it's one of those things where like everyone is the beneficiary of officiating from time to time. And the idea that Kansas City is the only one because they're the team that keeps on winning, I feel like is a reach.
Yeah, I think with the Patriots, it always felt like it was just always focused on the gates, spy gate, deflate gate, all that stuff, and potentially what the players and the coaches themselves were doing, and the referees weren't as focused on as much after, you know, the Raiders game, like when, obviously with that play that happened. So, yeah, I think the referees are definitely way more focused on the Chiefs because it's the only thing you have to stand on. It's the only thing people have to stand on right now with the Chiefs. That no one wants to accept that they're just like the potentially one of the best teams in the history of the NFL.
I'm even willing to accept it. Yeah. I mean, they're challenging my favorite team ever. You can't argue against it. What they have done with Mahomes and Reed to this point is really, especially if they win a Super Bowl, second to none to open up a guy's career. Mm-hmm. This has been insane.
Yeah, it's one of the all-time runs in any sport ever.
Yeah, and I mean, shoot, I don't know that it's going to stop after this year. I have no reason to believe it will. Who's hiring Steve Spagnuolo as head coach? No one. Is Andy Reid retiring? Doesn't seem that way. You get a three-peat, don't you want to go for a four-peat? Travis Kelce, is he going to retire? Is he going to propose to Taylor Swift at halftime? Interesting question. Is Travis Kelce going to propose to Taylor Swift at halftime? Or, not halftime, after the Super Bowl's done? We got to get back into a segment that we have done for ratings. And on top of that, continued conversations about the NFL. Does it have a referee problem? Plus, the Rockets lost. Nick Caley's the new Texans offensive coordinator. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Stay put.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You almost have to laugh at it because you know how everybody in the NFL wants to compete to win. And that's true of our guys as well. The referees are doing the best job that they can. If you look at the stats, there are a lot of stats that show that we've been on the wrong side of calls as often as we've been on the right side. So there's definitely no conspiracy, right? It's just the nature of the game. And when you have a lot of success, people like to start making excuses for why you're having the success.
That's Clark Hunt of the Kansas City Chiefs, talking about the idea that there is a conspiracy. He is their CEO. Exactly what you think a person who's covering up a conspiracy would say.
What's he supposed to say? We pay the refs off?
Honestly, it would be so funny if they did.
Oh, just like admitted it? Watch the world burn?
Just sarcastically say it and then walk away.
I think that's something they do when they start losing. To be like, guess the refs didn't help us out this time. Like that, I think you can't do it as you're winning.
There's got to be a chance of one of the Chiefs players saying that if they lose to the Eagles in the Super Bowl, especially if there's one bad call.
It's going to be Travis Kelce on the next New Heights podcast. He's going to be like, ooh, all the people said the refs help us.
I mean, look, if you were going to look at a team who's going to be, you know, number one target for conspiracy, I did not even realize this. I feel like I should have known this. Did you guys know the Hunt family was involved with the Bulls? Because he also referenced that they were part of the Jordan, the teams in the 90s, and everyone has their conspiracy theories about the refs and the Bulls in the 90s.
How are they part of the Bulls?
They're one of the founding investors of the Bulls, apparently. I had no idea the Hunt family was.
Back when you could put in like $250 and be a founding member of a basketball team.
So like he like referenced that at one point, I guess. I saw that. I was reading that and I couldn't find the audio for it, but I was reading it. And so it's like, well, you know, the Bulls did win 6 championships. So like if you're going to say a family is involved in a conspiracy theory, it's a lot of championships between the Bulls and the Chiefs.
Joe just wanted to talk about the Bulls.
No, I'm just saying. There. I'm just saying.
He is calling their legitimacy into question.
I literally am.
The only time Jerry Reinsdorf has ever been successful.
help from the Chiefs.
Yeah, they're not there anymore.
Travis Kelce needs no help. He's living life. He's dating the most famous person on the planet, a billionaire singer, Taylor Swift. And we did this segment. I realized the open that I made for this is dated. It was for Taylor Swift Watch 2024. Don't worry, guys. We'll have a Taylor Swift Watch 2025. But I'm doing this for the ratings. I had the biggest post of my life on social media just for taking a dump, essentially, on Travis Kelce's ex, who will never stop talking about him. By the way, since I posted that clip, she has talked about him twice. Incredible. It really is incredible. But this isn't about old relationships. This is about the new one. Did you guys hear? Oh my God, this was so special. Did you hear Travis Kelce getting asked about maybe proposing to Tay after the big game?
I think we're both, we love to manifest things for sure. And you can't say it's not real because we're here, right? So whatever she was doing, I'm sure it helped. And it definitely, for me not being able to be here supporting her during those weeks, it made me feel like I was there. So
it would be so cute if Travis proposes to Taylor after Super Bowl licks.
I agree. And you know you can wager on it?
You can.
Plus 800, yes.
Those are...
Minus 1,500, no.
That he won't.
That he won't propose.
800 is not terrible.
I think I'm... Three Super Bowls in a row. Like, if you're ever going to pull it, like, Travis, this is your moment.
And, like, what's their money line? You think if they win... Like, they're... Yeah. He's not going to do it if they lose.
Parlay?
There we go. Now we're cooking.
Chiefs money line.
I mean, you have to parlay those two. Yeah. If you're taking the proposal, you have to parlay.
Yes.
That doesn't make sense.
And maybe Travis Kelce touchdown.
It would be so funny if...
They lose and he still proposes?
Yes. It would be so funny.
I could not imagine your take on that the next day.
Oh, I would love it because then Philadelphia would be pissed and continue to complain. Because no one complains while winning more than Philadelphia Eagles fans. I mean, it's really funny. Oh, we've had such a tortured existence over the last couple of years. What are you talking about? So that would be funny if that just lingers over it. Or, as has been brought up on the Twitch, a call goes against the Chiefs. And that's how the game is decided. I think they also think it would be funny if a call went against the Eagles. And that's how the Chiefs end up getting their three-peat. Whatever the case, I'm just so excited about the possibility. I'd also say, I mean, you could do better than proposing after Super Bowl, but there is a part of me that thinks Travis Kelce's a little basic.
Can you?
And that he might. And also that Taylor Swift, who appreciates a good story, would love to have this. And getting proposed to after the biggest event in American sports in front of everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an album.
I mean,
especially that sets up for the next album where she divorces him.
It's the number one song in the country, the proposal song,
mm-hmm.
Whatever it is.
I'm so excited, guys.
I don't know if Travis Kelce can do much better. Like, what do you like? Where do you propose to Taylor Swift?
Outer space.
Yeah, like outer space
on
an
Elon Musk rocket.
I don't know where else you do it.
Oh, a private plane. Just numbers wise, that's pretty likely you'll catch her there.
That's true.
But that's basically, she lives in a private plane. She takes a private plane.
Yeah, I'm
just
saying numbers-wise, that's your best shot.
Just to get a bottle of water and a cup of coffee. She takes, everyone knows this. She flies a private plane through the Starbucks. It's incredible, especially with everything going on, you know, from an airline perspective these days. The pilots are crazy. But they're able to, they land on the middle of the road. They block off the street for usually about like 20 to 30 minutes. And then the plane drives right up to the drive-thru of a Starbucks.
I mean,
Taylor's only a Starbucks gal. You would have thought she would up her love of coffee to another level. No, sadly, this is not the case. By the way, Taylor Swift, strong, powerful, independent woman. Do you know another one of her talents that no one talks about? Travis, you tell us.
Ooh, she is quite the cook. I would say... Oh, man, I'm a breakfast guy, man. Her Pop-Tarts are unbelievable, man. Homemade Pop-Tarts. unbelievable.
I'm glad he clarified homemade Pop-Tarts.
Okay, because I was like, what?
It would
like,
be so funny if it's just Kellogg's Pop-Tarts.
She kills it at making those Pop-Tarts.
So now you guys are up to speed.
Homemade Pop-Tarts.
Have you ever had a homemade Pop-Tart?
No.
Have you ever made a homemade Pop-Tart?
I wouldn't even know where to start.
I think the whole point of the Pop-Tart is it's just such a lazy man's breakfast
that
you don't have to do bleep.
And also, like, do we really think she's the one making homemade Pop-Tarts? Or, like, while he's sleeping, her cook makes it?
I don't even know how you would. Now I'm thinking about how you would even make a Pop-Tart.
It's a great question.
Well, you have to make the hardened bread. You maybe put jelly on the inside, and then you put frosting on the top.
Yeah.
So it's essentially, I mean, it's essentially a pastry. And I'm assuming that these are not quite as
good.
Hard.
Oh.
Well, listen, I honestly, I'd love to try to make a Pop-Tart sometime. I've never done it.
I feel like if
I'm a good baker.
I feel like if it's homemade, you're losing the essence of what a Pop-Tart is.
I totally agree.
Like it
might be healthy.
What you just described, Paul, sounds like a pretty good pastry. I'm talking about a Pop-Tart. I'm talking about something that how they make it s'mores flavored. I don't know. How they do this.
So you want all the things RFK is going to take away from us.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I eat.
Sean's going to eat a whole new diet.
Best Pop-Tart flavor. 3, 2, 1. Blueberry.
S'mores.
It's s'mores. Or brown sugar cinnamon.
Mm, good call.
Brown sugar.
Do you eat them just straight up or do you?
Yeah, I don't toast them. No.
I don't either.
They were my crack in college. They had them at our the vending machine at our library.
Oh, so that's dangerous.
I would
that's
get,
really
that,
dangerous.
I would get
profitable
so many.
Vending machine in America.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You could use your student ID to.
Should we do
it.
That here?
Wow.
I can put a request in.
No.
Yes.
I'm trying to get hot, okay? Playing flag football last night for the first time in a while. I realized that we've got some ground to make.
How'd it go? Did you get the dub?
Didn't get to play very often, and we got killed.
They didn't even put you in garbage time?
I was rotating in as a pass rusher, wearing new cleats. That's an excuse, hint of a reason, stuff with a lie. There were two plays where I screwed up, I felt, and then DJ screwed up. And I screwed up first and should not have gotten to that. There were a couple of plays where the guy rolled out to his right, and I'm rushing the passer. I've never done that before, and it's on this field, and I just did not. My pursuit was pretty crap. Mm. So we got off an incredible touchdown pass that was over DJ.
But
we lost. They were talking a lot of trash, and I felt out of shape and old and self-conscious. And, like, I want to go anorexic for a little bit. Don't do that, kids.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
So Pop-Tarts.
Bad idea.
Pop-Tarts in the vending machine, hard pass.
Okay, sounds good.
We
hard
can't
pass.
Do that.
Kale chips it is.
Kale chips.
I don't know. I thought of the first healthy thing I could think of.
That's not does chips?
Kale chips. They're kale.
Yeah, but they're chips.
Yeah, I feel like they're still healthy-ish.
No. If it's chips, they're not healthy.
You never know. You gotta look at the
I do know.
You gotta look
Joe,
at the
I do know. How about this? I do know.
Okay.
That's not healthy. Chips can't be healthy.
I trust Paul.
Doesn't sound like you did.
I just
you said like, all right, we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll let all the facts come out, all right?
Well, we Google are kale chips healthy?
Are kale chips healthy? Yeah, that's funny. He's Joe and Paul. Got shot behind the glasses. Kalana George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. That's Taylor Swift Watch. Don't worry, guys. More Taylor Swift content all week long on your home for Taylor Swift Talk, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, formerly known as Aziz Alshayer 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, the Houston Texans should at the very least make a phone call about this now available player. Who are we talking about? Stay put.
2025. Oh, it's here. It's February already. It's time to get into shape. If you've been putting off your New Year's resolutions, now is the right time to get back into the gym. Great place to do it is at O Athletic. 767 North Shepherd in the Heights is where you can find them. You can check them out at oathletic.com and O Athletic on Instagram. You can sign up for a personal trainer while you're there. They will find someone that works around your busy schedule so you don't have to, you know, just fit into what they've got. They got multiple trainers to choose from, all kind of specialized in different things, so they will work with you on what's best. It's not just the workout. It's also what goes on behind the scenes. A lot of my diet stuff that I've been trying to change and just be working on at home, it's really all tips thanks to my trainer camp. So check them out, oathletic.com and 767 North Shepherd in the Heights.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.